We've been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes on Wednesday night, an interesting book to study. And in chapter 7, Solomon says something very surprising. He says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. He says, sorrow is better than laughter. He says, it's better to go to a funeral service than it is to go to a party. And that's a surprising statement, don't you think? But you know, it really is. Going to a funeral service does more good for us than going to a party. When you go to a party, everything's light, right? Light moods, you don't talk about anything very serious. But when you go to a funeral service, you're forced to reflect upon the brevity of life. You're forced to ask questions like, what's going to happen to me when I die? As a pastor, I've been called to do many funeral services, and oftentimes those services take place on a busy weekday morning. But business stops for the family that's dealing with death. School stops. Everything stops. People come, and they have to face death. It's like a divinely appointed pause. That's what this service is this afternoon. This is a divinely appointed pause. Many of you have gotten off work. School is out. And here we are to reflect on the things that matter most in this life. Why did Jesus die? And what does his death accomplish in our lives? The Gospel of John tells us, and he, Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. When they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. There were three crosses on that hill of Calvary. There were three public executions scheduled for that day. Two condemned criminals, and then Jesus, a condemned criminal, although accused falsely. Absolutely innocent. And so you have Jesus on a cross in the center, and then other crosses to the right and left, a criminal on each side. What a picture that is. I want you to think of that picture. A dialogue took place between those three. Luke's gospel tells us about it. It says, Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So I want you to see a picture before we partake. Three crosses. And I want to give a label to each one of those crosses. First, I want to call one of those crosses the cross of rejection. The criminal on that cross rejected Christ. It says in verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. So what can we see about that criminal? What do we understand about that one who was hanging on the cross of rejection? Did he show any remorse for sin? None. And he's a criminal. He's guilty of heinous crimes, perhaps murder, theft, rape, insurrection. This was a bad, bad dude. We don't see any repentance. We don't see any remorse. We don't see anything that he's sorry about. It would seem that the only thing he would be sorry about was the fact that he got caught. And he even feels to the dying breath, I don't deserve this. There are many people that think and act like that today. You know, and many people's thinking sin is not a big deal. And they don't really care all that much about sin. They're flippant about it. They think, hey, look, we all sin. We're only human. No big deal, right? Or some people may admit that they sin, but they're not as bad as others. Okay, I sin, but just a little. And I pay my taxes every other year. And I go to church occasionally. But in many people's thinking, sin is not a big deal. You need to understand that according to the Bible, sin is a huge deal. We have a holy God, and there is no sin in him. And he will tolerate no sin. One little itty-bitty sin will keep you out of the presence of God forever. And we have all sinned. This man doesn't think very serious of his sin. I also see unbelief in this man. He doesn't have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. The text says he blasphemed Jesus. He's mocking him. He says to Jesus, if you are the Christ. Does he believe in Jesus as the Christ? There's no belief. He doesn't have a proper understanding whatsoever of who Jesus is. And again, there are a lot of people just like that thief on the cross of rejection. They don't take their sin seriously, and they don't have a proper understanding of who Jesus is. They might say, well, he was a good guy. He was a religious leader. He was a prophet. But that's inaccurate. He's the Son of God. Come from heaven, became man to die on the cross for the sins of the world and rise again the third day, making it possible for people to be saved. And if you don't have that view of Christ, it's hopeless for you. I see also a very prideful man on that cross. He's blaspheming Jesus, mocking him in his arrogance. A lot of people like that on this planet, very prideful, and in their pride, sort of poking their thumbs up at God. I don't need God. I don't need him. I don't need him telling me that I'm a sinner. I don't need him running my life. I know a lot of people that have that feel in great arrogance. You know, speaking of funeral services, you know what one of the most popular songs is that people like to have played at their funeral services? Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. Of course, those are secular funeral services. But can you imagine that? That's nothing to be proud about on your funeral service. I did it my way. But lots of people live their lives just like that. The man on the cross of rejection was not repentant. He was not sorrowful. He did not have the proper belief in Jesus Christ, and he was not humble. And he died that day, and he went into judgment. And think about this, for the last 2,000 years, he's been in judgment. The second cross I'll label the cross of reception. The thief on that cross behaved much differently than the thief on the other cross. That dude was a bad guy too. He was a criminal. You don't get put on a cross, you know, for being a Boy Scout, right? He was a bad dude. He may have been guilty of rape, theft, murder, insurrection, heinous crimes. But you can see that he was sorry about it. He says to this other thief, do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Yeah, this guy was guilty, but he admitted it. He was sorry about it. And he even says, look, I know why I'm on the cross. I deserve it. I'm deserving of death and judgment. I'm deserving of punishment. I'm a sinner. I'm here justly. I also see in that man on the cross of reception, belief, faith. He knows he's at the end of his rope, right? He knows that there's nothing that can possibly be done for him from an earthly perspective. But he knows there's something special about Jesus. He knows that Jesus is innocent. He says to his other thief, we know why we're here, but this guy, he hasn't done anything wrong. And even on the cross, he says to Jesus, Lord, Lord. He called Jesus Lord. That man had a proper understanding of who Jesus is. And he gives this most humble cry. A wicked man on his deathbed. And he says, Lord, remember me. When you get into your kingdom, remember me. You know what that's? He's saying, help me out. Save me. I know there's nothing that anybody can do for me from an earthly perspective, and I am guilty as sin. I deserve death and punishment. But Lord, remember me. Help me. And do you know that that day, that man died? And on that very day, he went to paradise. And for the last 2,000 years, a condemned, wicked criminal has been in paradise. The third cross would be the cross that Jesus hung on. And I'm going to call that cross the cross of redemption. For you see, it's on the cross that Jesus came to redeem people. Jesus came to save people. When he was dying on the cross, he was doing that which would make it possible for him to say to wicked sinners, today you can be with me in paradise. See, the Bible does teach that we are all sinners. We have all blown it. We have all fallen short from the glory of God. And the punishment for sin is death, condemnation. And we are all guilty. And there is nothing that you and I can possibly do to save ourselves. But God came up with a way to make it possible for us to be completely forgiven of all our sins without compromising justice, righteousness. See, God is holy and just. Sin must be punished. If God doesn't punish sin, then he's not God. So according to the wise, marvelous, infinite mind of God, he determined that if a perfect, willing substitute were willing to take the trip and to take our sins upon him and die in our place, then God would accept that. And that is what Christ did. The perfect Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God, sent from heaven to become man, to live a perfect life, and to go to a cross and have every one of my sins and all of our sins placed upon him so that he dies in our place. You know, we think about all the pain that Jesus suffered on the cross, and it was great. The physical pain was, it's a mind blower what that man suffered, what our Savior suffered. But that wasn't the real extent of his suffering. The biggest extent of his suffering was the spiritual suffering. As I said, at that noon hour, it went dark. And that's when he began to feel the weight of our sin. And that's when he paid for a million hells. Billions of hell. the judgment, the wrath. He paid the price. And that is why you and I can be set free. That is why all of our sins can be forgiven. Understand something very clear. God doesn't just sweep sins under the carpet. He doesn't just say, oh, well, you look like you're a nice guy. I'll just let that little sin slide. No, every sin must be judged. And every sin has been judged. Jesus paid the price. Cross of redemption. Just a few minutes, we are going to distribute these elements. This is the way Jesus told us to remember his death, his sacrifice. The bread represents his broken body. The juice, his shed blood. We're to take those elements as those who know what they represent. And we are to partake as those who know that we have already partaken of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He's paid the price, but the Bible says that we must exercise our faith in him. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, who, by the way, rose again the third day and is alive and very present in this room and willing and able to save anyone who would place their faith in him. But you have to place your faith in him. I'll ask you, which side of the cross are you? Are you on the cross of rejection? Or are you on the cross of reception? If you're on the cross of reception, that is, you've received Christ, rejoice today. Give him glory and praise. But if you're on the cross of rejection, then you need to get right with God right now. Don't miss this divine pause in life. And the way you get right with him is just what we saw that criminal on the cross of reception do. First thing, admit that you're a sinner. Admit it. Admit that you deserve death and punishment. But then also, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you, who died on the cross for your sins. Humble yourself and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And he will come into your life, forgive you of all your sins, and give you the hope of heaven and a life here worth living. Bow your heads with me. I would invite our worship team to come back up. I'd like to invite our communion board to come up and prepare to distribute these elements. Personal reflection time with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Which side of the cross are you? If you have never humbled yourself before God, if you've never surrendered your life to him, right now would be the best time to do it. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. In the quietness of your heart, God can hear you. And He'll take you just the way you are right now. He'll take you. Just say to the Lord, say, Lord Jesus, remember me. I admit my sin. I admit my need for you. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Be my Savior. By your shed blood, wash away all my sins. Fill me with new life. If you prayed that prayer, then you partake freely with us as we distribute these elements. Parents, I'll leave it up to you to determine whether or not your children are able to understand what they're doing. But I would ask that we all stay in an attitude of reverence and worship. And wait, we'll all take of these elements together.